Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Sunday, February 8th, 2004. Today's session is entitled Grounded in Relationship, Setting God's Seal Upon Our Hearts. This is session 4 of the Women's Retreat, Grounded in God's Vision, presented by Sister Mary Jo Chavs and Reverend Gloria Jost. Session number CHM 2004-04. Let's listen in.
Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. We hope that today will be a Sabbath kind of day for you. Do you have any needs that haven't been met either by the village or by us? Looks like we're doing okay. We're going to attempt to speak without mics today. They haven't been picking up much anyway from what we've been trying to do. But if you cannot hear us, please let us know, because we tend to have very soft voices and we really want you to be able to hear us. So let us know and we'll try again with the mics if they don't. It doesn't seem to be working. Lars Larson, I don't know if you have run into him here, Clausen, here in the, Lars Clausen, not Larson. Lars Clausen here in the village is the works with the school, but he's written a book, One Wheel, Many Spokes. And he had asked if we would mind giving out his little postcard here. And there is a copy of his book there, too. So that's there for your perusal. If you haven't had the opportunity to sit with Lars at all, be sure you do. He's a marvelous gift here to the village this year, as well as his children. I was here when he first arrived last September, and as you can see, he's a unicyclist, and all of his children unicycle as well. And it was the fall time, so he had every single child in the village trying to learn how to unicycle. And I think they did right up to the winter snow, so it's really an amazing adventure that he had unicycling across the USA. So that book is there for your perusal. Many of you have asked if, you know, like the reference for this film or this video, or if we would have some kind of a bibliography of the different resources we've used, and we will be giving that out tomorrow, so you'll have an opportunity to take that with you. We'll also have our business cards out tomorrow if in any way you wish to connect with us. Many of you have said to us, these scarves, they're wonderful, we're really enjoying them. And some have said, you know, I have a whole drawer full of scarves at home that I never wear. Would you like them? We're at a zero point now because we've given them out. So any you have, we would more than be, you know, that you don't wear and don't need, we would more than welcome. So we'll have our business cards out for you to take tomorrow as well. Okay, thus far on our retreat, yesterday was a very full and packed day, as I'm sure you experienced. And we looked at what it meant to be grounded in love, in God taking us just as we are. So we spent that first morning session looking at who we are. And we looked at that through the lens of Mary's journey. And we looked at that through the lens of St. Francis of Sales. And how we are all unfolding. We are all becoming all that we can possibly be. Then when we came back after we had our little morning break, we spent time with what it meant to be grounded in God's call. And how in that call, we are summoned out to be all that we can be. And so we shared those stories. And Gloria talked with us about what it means to discern well. And we gathered here to really share some of those deepest stories in your small groups as well as in your large groups. That led us to an afternoon of great fun with folding boxes. I think some of you had a grand time with that. Or just many of you I know went for walks, and many of you took good naps, and many of you spent time with scripture or with the library or whatever Holden had to offer to you in this great giftedness yesterday afternoon. And then last evening we were gifted with this wonderful concert, I mean. A blessing beyond blessing. So thank you again, Jerry and Claudia and Amy and Cassie, for that just magnificent experience. And that brought us to this morning's brunch. Wasn't that delicious? Mm-hmm. Remember, we're only doing three things. We're praying, we're eating, and we're sleeping. Holden's providing this grand banquet for us while we're eating. I'm sure we're not hungry. I hope we're not, anyway. But that moves us then into today's two sessions. And today we hope to create with you very much of a Sabbath rhythm. That sense of walking slowly. You know, the Sabbath tradition, if we look at it from the Jewish perspective, it's as if we walk today as if everything we ever hope to accomplish is already done. So in the Jewish tradition, when they celebrate Sabbath, it's everything stops, you know, because everything's done. There's this wonderful story in a book that I read about this, and this Jewish mother was getting ready for Sabbath, so she was busy cooking the soup and just working really hard to get everything ready. She was ready by the Friday evening sundown. She was doing nothing, and then she got up on Saturday morning, and she was busy making her bed, and she said, "No, I leave my bed unmade. So if you made your bed this morning, go and make it. Go and make it. Leave it messy. Just leave it messy. So that you can just crawl right back in there, you know, as the day goes on. And to just go more slowly. So that when you pick up your coffee cup or your teacup and are drinking the tea or coffee, that's what you're doing. You're not washing your cup or thinking about what you're going to do next. And that you taste everything you eat. So you might put your fork down a little more in between, or the cup down a little more in between. It's as if when we do a Sabbath day, it's as if our senses are heightened. And so we see more, and we taste more, we hear more, we touch more, and we smell more, because we are more aware. And that's not just with our outside senses. That's with our interior senses as well. So let your senses be truly heightened. And we're asking and inviting you today, in this morning up to our afternoon session to a quiet kind of rhythm. A quiet rhythm. This morning we will be talking about being grounded in our relationship with God, setting God's seal upon our hearts. And we'll be hearing our inner wisdom, the place where God dwells in us, whatever name we give to God. God partners with us in tilling the fertile ground, the fertile soil of our hearts. So we're inviting you into a quiet space. For some, that might be real silence. For others, it might be a quiet walk. And Gloria will be talking a bit more about that at the end of our session this morning. And then this afternoon, when we gather again at 2:45, we're going to move from our own personal relationship with God to being grounded in joy and living in God. That it never ends with us, but goes always beyond us. And that will be our emphasis this afternoon. So, what a wonderful day we've been gifted with. Isn't it marvelous? Just to be able to be here in the strength of a true Sabbath. A true Sabbath. Now it's important to remember, because usually by this time in the retreat, people are starting to pack their suitcases. You know, somebody, though, this morning did say to us, "Oh, we're only halfway done. Isn't this wonderful? And I already feel so full." Well, be sure that you stay halfway done. Even though we had all the announcements about how to pack up out of here, don't pack that suitcase. Either psychologically or actually. Don't pack it. Don't make the bed. You're just going to stop today. And let being be the blessing. Because God doesn't need our time. Not even a nanosecond of our time. What God needs is us. And so the invitation in our spending our morning time and early afternoon with God is to bring all of us to that experience. We're going to start with a song to lead us into that, the song, God Beyond All Names. And it's on one of your sheets there that you picked up on your way. We invite you to just put that on your lap and nothing else. We're going to put everything else down. And take your scarf off and sort of drape it around the little copy of God Beyond All Names. Just put the folders down and the pens down and just your scarf and that copy on your chair. How we're going to do this is we're going to listen to the song first, once through. And you have the copy there to help you follow it. It's pretty clear, but you may, you know, just in case you can't quite get the words from the song, they're there in front of you. I invite you as you listen and as you reflect on this to just let the God you know fill you. And after we listen to it once, we're going to listen to it again a second time and do some movement with it. So just allow yourself the first time through to let God dance in you. How would God dance this song in you? Thank you.
stand with your scarves. Give yourself a little room. And let the text and the tune move you with your own life scarf. Seriously, I have to tell you a funny story. The first year I was here in Holden, I was asked on the third day I was here if I would give the homily. I've never been to this place before. It's my third day here. So I decided, I felt so much at home that I was going to do a dance. And it's a song.
So we were in the Village Center, you know, the 400 plus people they have here every summer. 400 people were there, and I haven't done this yet for anyone. I hardly know who's in front of me, but I really felt called to do this. So the person up there, you know, above that does the CD work and all that, he was all set. But you know, in the middle of that song, it pauses. He thought it was over. So he stops it, and I'm in the middle of the dance, and I kind of look up at him, and he starts it over again. So I had to make it up in front of him. Try to do something different. Anyway, I thought he'd share that. Hope I have a bottle to wrap up there.
You don't have to be perfect, just wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm going to spend a few moments looking at a phrase that we have sung many times this weekend together. Set your seal upon our hearts is part of the theme song that we've been singing. That particular phrase comes out of the scriptures from the Song of Songs. So we're going to spend a few moments with the text from the Song of Songs. But before we do that, I have to say that along with many people throughout history, I haven't always known what to do with the Song of Songs. And you may feel the same way. It's very erotic, passionate language. And what do you do with that in terms of it being part of the body that we know as our scriptures? Throughout history, a lot of bickering has been done over that particular book. Many, many years ago, a gentleman named Hippolytus, what a name, thought this was a torrid little book, just an awful little book. And the way that he brought some kind of congruence to this very passionate text was to say that it describes the church. And he, in fact, wrote a 12-volume commentary on that. And then others since then, Origen, a very, very famous early theologian, really developed that in terms of the Song of Songs being about the church. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux added kind of a twist to this allegorical interpretation that I just mentioned. And he thought that perhaps the Song of Songs would best be interpreted as talking about the individual soul rather than the collective whole. And he had so much to say about it that he wrote 86 sermons based on the Song of Songs, and that was only on the first two chapters. So, what do you do with the Song of Songs? Such a intimate description of us, humanity. I like the Song of Songs because it poetically describes what we know to be true in our lives. It's true. It's true whether we are married or not, that we have passion. We have been blessed with passion because we're created in the image of God, and God the Creator was a passionate creator. So I like the Song of Songs because sometimes it helps give language to something that I know to be true, but I can't always find the words for. You know, and I'm married, my gosh, that helps too, you know, because it does talk about lovers together. But I also know that the Song of Songs is very true with friendships that we may have with other women in particular. Do you know that to be true, that you have a very special friendship with a woman? Could be a man as well, but you're not necessarily married to them. but there's a very intimate soul connection that has passionate underpinnings. That's of God, and that's good. So the Song of Songs gives expression to that as well. So what in the world am I going to do with the Song of Songs today when we talk about set God's seal upon our hearts? I'm going to do a bit of intermingling of looking at it, both as just as it rests, just as it is, a passionate interpretation of what we know, something that is raging and full and beyond our intellect. And taking that, looking at our own relationships as well as our relationship with God. So today I'm siding somewhat with Origen, as well as letting the text stand on its own. Mary Jo, would you read that text for us, please?
Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it.
Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. In ancient times, a seal was a unique insignia that was often placed on a letter with legal matters, but also upon a letter that described the covenantal relationship between a husband and a wife, a king and his wife, the queen. So to be set like a seal upon the king's arm in ancient times meant that you were placed in a position of protection, and that you were placed in a position or a place of strength. To be set on the seal of your husband's heart was to be immediately connected to the place of his closest and most endearing affection. So when we look at this today, this God beyond all names that has given birth to us and that we continue to co-create with, this God that cries tears with us, that laughs with us, this God that is beyond and yet so intimate, when we invite that God to set God's seal upon our heart, we are inviting a very passionate, intimate relationship. And I want you to take just a moment now to kind of Rolodex through your own experiences and just bring to mind an experience that you have had with another person that connects as closely as you can in relating to what this might mean, setting a seal upon someone's heart, or having them set a seal upon your heart. And bring that person to mind. That would be a seal that demonstrates and gives expression to a deep relationship. No doubt, the person that you bring to mind is someone that you enjoy spending time with immensely. Likely, it's someone that when you are separated, you are affected. That distance makes your world feel a bit incomplete. That's the experience. That's the intention of this God beyond all names, who desires to set God's seal upon our heart, but only with our invitation. Never coerced, never placed upon us without our consent. Always present, always available. And yet, a God of deep respect. God's desire is that if we say yes to that, which, as we know, with any kind of relationship, it's a process. We say yes over and over again. It's a yes that has many dimensions. It's a yes that goes deeper each time that we consent. This God beyond all names wants our hearts, our whole beings. This God is the God that we lived with yesterday, who takes us one by one and says, I prefer you, and I prefer you, and you, and you. You are my beloved. May I set my seal upon your heart? May I know your deepest longings? May I be united with you forever? The text goes on, though.
For love is strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it.
Nothing is stronger than love. It is as strong as death, like a raging flame undaunted by floods. In the most difficult of times, love endures. We are not alone. This God who graciously asks, may I set my seal upon your heart, says, no matter what, I will companion you. There is nothing that will separate us. May I set my seal upon your heart? Especially during difficult times, when we can feel estranged, when we can feel a distance, this God who birthed us, who tenderly cares for us, says, I'm there right beside you, no matter what. My mother recently went through a very, very difficult time. she had a surgery that put her into nursing care for a period of time, and she needed that. That was a good thing. My mother is 87 years old, and I called her one day and asked her how she was, and she had a glowing report about the nursing home. She said, "These people care for me. We have the most delicious meals, and you have to know my mother. She's never been short on words. Even though dementia is part of her life now, she still has much to say. Thank God." So she goes on and on about the food and about the care and about the wonderful room and her roommate, who is so endearing, so caring as well. And then she pauses and she says, "But Gloria, there is something in this nursing home that I have not experienced for years." And I'm thinking, what possibly could that be? I mean, we don't think nursing homes are perhaps the most ideal of settings. And she went on to explain the mattress that she slept on. Now, I know, you know, you go with the flow. And she said, "This mattress is curved, and it embraces me. It holds me. I feel very, very secure there and very cared for. I feel safe." And then she said, "It reminds me of being held in the arms of my husband. My father has been gone for 26 years. She said, "That's what it feels like. It is that secure. I don't have a care in the world. I'm being held." Now, at the time that she shared that, I was working with this text, and I thought, there it is. That's what God's embrace is like. It's like that mattress that caresses us, that holds us through even the most difficult times. Later, I found out that it's a therapeutic mattress. And, you know, on the lighter side of things, as you perhaps have walked with people with dementia, when I went to visit her just a week and a half ago, she said, "Oh, Gloria, feel this bed. Sit on this bed." And so I did. The mattress, that special mattress, was not there, but it still was for her. Yeah. It's such a poignant illustration of this God that invites us to set a seal upon our hearts and what it's like to be cradled forevermore in the embrace that truly is caring and secure. She went on to say, and I don't know from here on out if it's my mother's dementia or if, you know, you go, you just live each moment to its fullness. But my mom said, I don't have any aches and pains anymore. And I have very, very peaceful dreams. And I said, you know, that's wonderful, Mom. And then my imagination went to work. And I thought, you know, I don't doubt for a minute that my mom dreams about being passionately reunited with her husband, my father. Where the union is whole, where it is complete. And I certainly wish that for her. To be in the fierce yet tender care of God, like the song "God Beyond All Names" spoke of, is to be carried through the waters of our lives. on a mattress that's concave. Grounded in that kind of love, a love that is forever, allows us to lean into, to give birth to that which is not yet become in our own lives. It's a partnering relationship. Creation is not yet fully experienced. It's up to us and the sealed relationship we have with our God to co-create together. As a closing prayer, would you please take out the God beyond all names? Because I think this expresses so well the posture, the internal posture that Mary Jo and I invite you to experience today, that as we are grounded in this relationship of passionate, fierce, tender, endearing, forever love, we are becoming. Praise be. And so there is a verse on that particular song sheet. It's the fourth verse that begins, God beyond all time. And I invite us together to just read that as our heart posture as we move into the rest of the day. Together. God beyond all time, you are laboring within us.
We are moving. We are changing. Your spirit ever new.
May it be.
And you know, when we move from the Song of Psalms into the time of the Hebrew Scriptures, into Jesus' time, they experienced and knew, the apostles and disciples, got that Jesus was like that with Jesus as God. And so they said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us about this intimate relationship. Teach us what it means to be a seal on God's arm. And Jesus responded with that beautiful prayer, the Our Father. So we thought, in order to connect our history of salvation with both Old and New Testament, that we complete the circle with some time of reflection around this wonderful prayer that Jesus gives us. So I'd like you to turn to the handout and staple together. The one that has a rose on it. And to set us in that realm of how we might look at this prayer that we know so well, I chose a couple of poems that might bridge us from this set me like a seal on the heart to this prayer that is in our being. So, Gloria, I invite you to read the poem for us, Asleep of Prisoners.
The human heart can go to the lengths of God. Dark and cold we may be, but this is no winter now. The frozen misery of centuries breaks, cracks, begins to move. The thunder is the thunder of the flows, the thaw, the flood, the upstart spring. Thank God our time is now, when wrong comes up to face us everywhere, never to leave us till we take the longest stride of soul that we humans ever took. Affairs are now soul size. The enterprise is exploration into God. Where are you making for? It takes so many thousand years to wake. But will you wake for pity's sake?
And Christopher Fry is saying to us,
that the deepest thing we ever do is our exploration into God. That is prayer. It's as Thich Nhat Hanh puts it, I have arrived. I am home in the here, in the now. I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate, I dwell. I often take those lines and I walk in rhythm with those as I'm walking through creation. I have arrived. I am home. In the here. In the now. I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate, I dwell. So oftentimes when we come to prayer, we get kind of short on words because I've got a lot of words on those papers I made, but we get a little short on words because it's an intimate relationship. So in the rest of that handout, as you look through the next few pages, you'll find the Our Father. But you'll notice that there's a few blank spots on the paper, little ovals. And the invitation as you move into the quiet of today is to do whatever you wish with those ovals. You can write your own little meditation in there. You can draw in those little ovals. You can dance in those little ovals. You can do whatever you wish with them. This is not something we will ask you to share. So each phrase of the Our Father is there with a little few little thoughts there too, that might lead you on. You might want to notice we've got the Our Father here around the center here. You might want to just come and sit with a phrase, or you might just want to come and take one with you for a while through the day, but just what's going to speak to you out of this prayer. That's just another resource for you as you move into the quiet today. So I'm not going to go through all that's written there on those pages. That's for your own reflection. So I'd like to close this before we use your personal reflection with Claudia and Jerry leading us in their version of the Our Father. That's the little half sheet that was on the paper. Life people. We didn't pick one up. And you know, we did not talk to each other until we met each other on the boat. We did not know this was going to happen, so isn't this wonderful? My mother would say, coincidences are God acting anonymously. So let's sing. We'll sing it twice.
Earth as it all rounds me on.
Thank you. Now, just a few words about the next hours that you have ahead of you until we meet again at 2:45. This is your personal reflection time. But unlike the other days, we are really encouraging you to spend this in silence. That doesn't mean that you need to spend it all by yourself. You can be with others and give them the space that they need. You can be sitting at a table together and both experience silence. So you can go about your day, perhaps as you had planned, with a friend or whatever, but to just slow down, be attentive, like Mary Jo spoke about, to what is really before us, the food at lunch, the food at dinner that we're going to have, the smells of the outdoors, just being attentive and present to that which is outside of us and that which is within us. There is a handout that you probably picked up on how to take a Sabbath walk. A Sabbath walk is a walk without any purpose, something that we generally do not do. You walk to walk, and all that you take in on your walk is what you are to take in on your walk. So you may want to do that today, to take a Sabbath walk. As Mary Jo said about the handout that you have on the Lord's Prayer, you may want to continue reflecting on that. And please do take these phrases from the visual table here if you want to. Those of you who were a part of Matins this morning, you may want to continue to reflect on the scriptures that we will be again experiencing tonight at Eucharist. For some of you, you may want to use the finger lapper. This is going to be placed out on the piano. Perhaps you've seen it there. There are instructions about what a labyrinth is, how to use this finger labyrinth. It's a tool for going from the outer landscape of our lives, again, into the inner landscape of our lives. Please take any resources that are here. If you want to look at the Betsy Beckman tape again, please do that. Also, please know that Mary Jo and I are available for spiritual direction. And if you are interested in meeting with either one of us, please meet with us after this session so that we can set up a time. Are there any questions about what might constitute your reflection time? Wonderful. Peace be with you. We will meet back here at 2:45.
So we haven't really conferred much about doing this, but how about if we'll sing it for you once, and then let's sing it together, and then maybe we'll break into groups and do it in a round fashion with Jerry over here and you over here. So.
Go where you cannot go, look where you cannot see, hear where there is no sound, then you are where God speaks.
Does it seem a little high?
Yeah.
Let's try down here.
Go where you cannot go.
when you are ready, I just invite you to be with quiet, with silence. We will gather here again at 2:45. So happy Sabbath.